Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Today on ESPN Daily, we don't know when baseball is going to return, but let's dream about its future. Reds pitcher Trevor Bauer gets real with MLB insider Jeff Passan on how MLB can make the most of its comeback. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. So obviously I've been a little busy over the weekend and I did not get a chance to watch season three of Ozarks. But Chris, are you all done with it now? Have you watched all of season three?
Yes, Dave, I've completed season three of Ozarks, and I will say that you are in for a huge surprise in the way that this season ends. It was outstanding. Also had an opportunity to finish up the last season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is hilarious to say the least. Larry David is a genius. That coming up with the Spite Store, that was phenomenal.
You know, it's funny, I haven't seen any of the season except I just stumbled upon like moments of that episode. It's so good. I mean, he is an absolute comedy genius. He really is.
Yeah, he's pretty good, Dave. Pretty good. It's hard to beat. I mean, I know we don't have sports, but that's plenty of content right there to dive into.
And are you caught up on Ozarks, Rick? There's no way you watched 10 episodes this weekend, right?
No, I've watched none. No, I was trying to finish up on The Tiger King.
Oh, did you finish it?
I got one episode left.
Are you loving it?
Last episode, I watched episode six, which is the second last. Episode six was okay. First five were better. I mean, have you watched any of it yet?
Not a minute of it yet.
Yeah, you won't believe it. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. You can't. It's impossible.
But I will say Tiger this, King Rick, game. I'm here for all the Tiger King memes. I'm here for all of them. They're hilarious.
I got a good Tiger King.
I haven't watched today's any of not it yet either.
Today's not the day to do it. I got a good Tiger King game for tomorrow.
A game?
Yeah, Tiger King game. Yeah.
Nice. Have you seen it, Chris?
I have not watched 1 second of the Tiger King, Dave, but I'm going to dive into it at some point this week.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing is we're going to have time to do it. 800-919-3776. So yesterday we found out we're on lockdown basically through it at least the end of April. So whatever show you want to binge or conversation you want to have, you're going to have time to do that. 800-919-3776. We're talking, if you're just tuning in, and I hate to like reset like this, it's awkward and awful. But my father passed away right after the show, literally minutes after the show on Friday. And I spent the weekend dealing with family stuff as closely as we could. And we had the funeral graveside yesterday where only five of us could attend, and it was awful. But it brings me a lot of memories of him and the sports memories that I have with him. And that's kind of where we are pushing the show today, about the sports memories you have with your, and I don't even want to say father because that seems unfair, but your parent or whoever you have that, you know, special sports memory with, if it's a grandparent or whoever it is. It doesn't have to be pigeonholed specifically to your dad. Let's go to Emmanuel in Flushing. Emmanuel, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
We're hanging in there, Emmanuel. What do you got today, buddy?
First off, I always want to say my hearts and prayers goes out to you and your family, Dave, for this very difficult time. And also want a prayer for James Dolan, who has the coronavirus, as well. So prayers for him and his family. One of my best sports memories was, believe it or not, was the Knicks when I was like 4 years old in 1999, when I went to the finals. Me and my dad was watching the Larry Johnson shot, and he shot over a three, and everybody was jumping, including myself and my dad, because I had no idea at the time the Knicks were the eighth seed, and it was kind of excitement. And then the last couple of years, I take my brother and I to Yankee games during Memorial Day weekend. My favorite was my first time at Yankee Stadium. I think it was 2 years ago, back in 2018. That that the Yankees won, but I think they won, and then we took pictures with everybody, particularly the Navy SEAL, and we went home to the bus to train, because I never took to train to the Bronx before, and it was a great feeling, and that was my reason of best
time. Well, listen, I hate to do this to you, Emmanuel. You're kind of breaking up there, but it's nice to hear about some of your special memories. My dad, Rick, hated the Yankees. Oh my God, did he hate the Yankees? He detested them. He was actually a New York Giants baseball fan back in the day. And then they moved to San Francisco, and he gave up on baseball. And I got so into the Mets in 85 that he kind of fell in love with the Mets, and we got to experience that in 85 and 86. And it was nowhere near the Giants connection that we had, but he, I mean, through this season, he would, every single game, he'd be, you know, in the assisted living, and 7 o'clock at night, he'd be done with dinner, back to his room and watch the Mets game or watch it on tape or, you know, I mean, he was basically living the life that we're living now for a long time when you're just kind of hauled away and there's not a lot to do. So he would watch the game. If they wanted, he'd watch it again. He'd watch it the next morning. Like he spent a lot of time watching baseball and watching the Mets recently.
Isn't that funny though? I know you kind of joke telling the stories where you would show the kids, you know, a Dallas Cowboys helmet and say, you know, this team is bad.
Yeah.
Or would make things up. But it's funny because Milo does the same things now. Like we'll be watching a game or, you know, he may be, and Dick's always gets me because they have all the little stuff, all the trinkets when you check out. So I got, you know, the goalie helmets and the baseball helmets and everything else. But like you just randomly out of nowhere, like he'll just walk up with one of the goalie helmets and one of the baseball helmets and be like, you like this team, Dad? And I'd be like, yeah, they're okay. Or you like this team, Dad? It'll be the Yankees or the Rangers. I'm like, no, I don't, we don't like those teams. So then all of a sudden it'll come on TV, like during like last baseball season, like the Yankees will be on TV and he's like, oh, Dad, I hope the Yankees are losing. I'm like, that a boy. That's what I'm talking about.
That's nice. That's very important. I used to tell, I had a friend that used to I told her this and she's like, you're doing what? I used to tell her, Chris, I was like, if you ever run into a member of the Dallas Cowboys in the street, they push you right down. I said, they'll just throw you down onto the ground to make him just detest the Cowboys. So I would ask him, I was like, what do you think about the Cowboys? He's like, Dad, I hate the Cowboys. I said, why? He goes, because they'll push you down.
That's hilarious, Dave. That is hilarious.
I'm a special individual.
Sorry to interrupt you, Chris. By the way, I think the point that you made in the first hour of the show, we didn't really touch on it. That was a really good point. I mean, and you're probably dealing with little pieces of this now because your kids are getting older. I mean, you just had the beautiful bar mitzvah that that Peter Rosenberg helped contribute to.
Yep, narrowly, yes.
But I mean, the reality at some point, I mean, as your kids get older, they want to spend less and less time with you. They want to do their own thing. They want to go hang with their buddies. You know what I mean? And I haven't experienced this yet, but now I'm sitting here for the last hour and, you know, 8 minutes thinking about my relationship with my dad. It's because your kid needs you to drive them to sports, because your kid loves when you watch them play sport. You know what I mean? It's like it allows you the ability to hang on a lot longer than you probably would have. You know what I mean? Spending time.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, it's funny because, and he doesn't thank me often, you know, the 5 o'clock in the morning, Sunday games out in, you know, baseball heaven and God knows where up at Rock Nation, wherever it is. But occasionally we'll come back and be exhausted. He'll play three games and, you know, I've driven 2.5 hours each way and you're shot and you fall asleep, whatever. And he'll thanks, Dad. Thanks for driving me. And I always think inside, like, you have no idea how good, like, there is nothing I would rather be doing than driving you to these things. So you take the compliment, right? But, and you probably feel the same way. Now, I don't know if Milo's at the age even yet where he'd be like, thanks for driving me, Dad, and spending all the time. But at some point he's going to get there. But you have no idea when they say that to you. And my thought always is, thank you for playing baseball and allowing me and including me and all that stuff. So yeah, it's a really special bond to sports is, I you guys have to feel the same way. And I'm not saying it's the most important bond out there, but it is the one thing that just, it connects generation to generation and it never goes away.
It takes me back to a conversation we had with Dr. Oz when he came in studio and he talked about how human beings are inherently tribal. And that's why you see such strong affiliations with sports teams and people take their fandom so seriously is because this is what they're passionate about. This is where they're going to align themselves with and they're always going to live and die with their team. And so to be able to connect on that level and to have that common passion for a respective sports team, I think that's something that everybody relates to, Dave, because of how we're made, because of how we're wired. So, you know, I think that's why when we start talking about sports, it's something that everybody can talk about and have a conversation about because it's something that everybody relates to.
Yeah, but it's just so amazing because you think, okay, if Graham Gano kicks this 63-yard field goal, a football through like they say in Coming to America, through oblong goalposts, now, if he makes that kick, the rest of my day is miserable. But if he misses that kick, now – I can absolutely celebrate. It's just, it's, and I love it, but it's amazing the amount of life-changing moments that you have based on whether a guy can, you know, cross the goal line or whether Pete Carroll calls a run or a pass at the right time. It's just, it's remarkable to think how the little minutia of sports has such a huge impact on everybody, Rick, on all the people that are probably listening to the show right now.
Yeah, but the more you sit here and talk about it, the more we go through, you know, the memories of your dad, the more it makes sense to, I think, everyone that's listening, you know, why the Giants have such an emotional effect on you. Because, I mean, you grew up in a house where your dad loved the Giants, and it affected him. And because it affected him, either good or bad, it now affects you. I mean, you have an emotional attachment to the New York Giants that, I mean, was passed on from your dad.
And yeah, that's true. But he loved them, but my love for them brought his love for them to a completely different level. You know, like just my absolute fascination and adoration and willing to just do whatever it took to be the biggest Giants fan brought his level up, if that makes any sense.
No, it makes sense. I mean, because it was something that you shared, though. I mean,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I would imagine that there's not many, you know, many things that, I mean, your dad had you at 40. Like, there's not a lot of similarities. Like, there's not a lot of common interest when, you know, your dad's 40 and, or dad's 50 and you're 10 years old, you know? But, I mean, the fact that you had the Giants, that was something that you guys had in common. That every Sunday, Monday, or whenever it was, you'd turn on the television and you could sit there for the 3 hours, and then for the rest of the week, you'd have something to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he passed at 87. I almost killed him back in 1991. It was the first game of the season. The Giants had just won the Super Bowl, and it was the same day. And if you guys remember this, Jamie Connors was going on that crazy run in the U.S. Open, and he was actually playing Aaron Krickstein on Labor Day afternoon. And we had to get to the Giants-Niners game at Giants Stadium for Monday Night Football. And the match was taking forever. And he's like, we got to go. I was like, just wait. Let's watch one more game, one more point, one more of this. Because that's what my whole life really is. It's Sherry, just give me, I go, one more inning, one more out, one more this, one more half, one more possession, one more timeout. It's just, that's my life. And he's like, we got to go. I said, just one more point, one more service game, one more. And the match was one of the great matches of all time. Connors came back to win in five sets. And we were so late leaving to the Giants game. So he drove like crazy. We're on the GW. He's in and out. He beat the Cross Bronx, I think, that day, Rick. And we get to the stadium, and it's like, Dad, the game starts in 9 minutes, and we have to run through the parking lot. Now, that's 91, so he's well into his 50s. We run through the parking lot, up the huge escalators, and our seats that day were way up high in the 300s, way up high. And I was like, let's go. So we're taking this like it's two-a-days at Alabama, Chris, running up the top rung at Giant Stadium all the way up, and we get to our seats, and we sit down, and they're just kicking off. And I look at him. This man is drenched in sweat. Like, his head is just – sweat is pouring off him. And I looked, and he's like and so we made it. He's like, I'm so angry at you right now. He says – I can't believe you made me do that. And Matt Barr kicked the game-winning field goal, and the Giants won at the buzzer. And it was a disappointing season. I think they went 8-8 that year under the great Ray Hanley. But, yeah, that was another one of those ridiculous, unbelievable stories. Kevin in West Orange. Kevin, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN. Kevin, you're on the air, man.
Hey, dude. I'm sorry. I got to get off speaker. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm here.
Okay. All right, Kevin. God, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, my condolences to you and your family. This is the first time I've ever called you guys, so
thanks for reaching out, making the call
nearly every day. I was just calling to share a memory of mine. Like, I remember, like, growing up, it makes me emotional because, like, I recently lost my grandfather. And he was, like, the best person I ever knew. Mm-hmm. And we would wake up because we would look at cricket at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning being played in, like, Pakistan or India or Sri Lanka or something. And we would wake up and, you know, he'd wake me up at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning. And you know, he would say, shh, don't tell anybody I'm waking you up. You have school today. I'm like, okay. And then he put me back to bed at like 5:30 and act like nothing ever happened. But, you know, that's just one of the memories that made us really close.
Yeah, it's a beautiful memory, and I'm sorry it, you know, brings you to such an emotional state. But thank you for the call. And that, and we all have that. And Rick, I remember, and I don't even know if you remember this. So when preseason football used to be on tape delay, do you remember that? It was in your local market only, and it was on tape delay.
No, I don't remember that, no.
So I'm, I don't know, 8, 10, probably 12. And I think Joe Namath used to do the Giants games on either Channel 9 or Channel 11. And my dad and I would avoid the score at all costs, preseason, not pay attention to any score. And it was easier back in the day because there was no internet, no, you know, streaming and no phone. We just basically had to avoid answering the phone and the news. And they would show it. It would start at, I don't know, 11 or 11:30. And I would sneak into the den and turn on the TV and watch the game. And before the game would ever kick off, he would sneak into the den also, and we would watch the kickoff of the game and watch preseason football with Joe Namath. I forget who was the play-by-play guy calling Giants and whoever it was. Then, of course, we'd get to the third preseason game, which was the Jets, which was like the Super Bowl of the preseason. So then we'd be in the den at like 11:15, and we'd have snacks and be all sorts of excited. But, you know, the amazing thing is these are stories that I – probably haven't thought about when people call and say, oh, I used to do this and my grandfather woke me up at 2 o'clock to watch cricket. It's like, oh my God, I have that memory also. It really is. It really kind of, Rick, conjures up all these deep rooted, deep seated memories that you have when you're a kid.
Yeah. And they're good memories. I mean, these are memories that, I mean, you know, otherwise that, you know, you probably wouldn't even have thought about, you know what I mean? Like it's the ability to connect with the audience, have them tell some of their stories. And I mean, it was the question that you asked. I mean, is it us sitting here for 3 hours talking sports, or is it us talking sports with, you know, our kids and our wives and, you know, you know, personal experiences thrown in that people like? And I think it's the right mix of both. And the fact that, you know, when you're going through what you're going through and you can sit and kind of reflect and have some of these stories that you never even remembered all of a sudden come up is, I mean, it's awesome. I'm just happy to be a part of it.
Well, I'm happy you guys are here with me. Coach Mike W. tweets in, my condolences. I've never called, but I listen frequently. I love this show today. What life is truly about. Lots of life lessons happening on the show today. So it's nice that we can actually break through and make that connection with everybody. Now, there are certainly other things going on in the world and everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, your nose, your mouth. Stay home when you're sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. The message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN New York. Let's go to Dave in Long Island. Dave's been on the phone for an hour and 15 minutes, and we appreciate it. Good morning, Dave.
How we doing, fellas? How we doing? Dave, just want to say apologies for your loss. I'm going to go down the list of everybody. Canty, you made me happy when the Giants won the Super Bowl. Thank you very much. DiPietro, I like you too as well. I'm a Ranger fan, but I'm a goalie. I remember seeing your gear in Iceworks, and I was like, that's just cool to see an NHL player. And Dave, you make me not look crazy when the Giants lose or anything like that with the whole treadmill situation. So I just wanted to say all that. But the one thing that I do want to say about a memory with my father that I have is March 28th, I became a Duke fan. When Christian Laettner hit that shot, we were at what was at the Radisson Hotel, okay, which is now Jake's 58, at my father's 40th birthday party. I remember that like no tomorrow because I said, let me just pick this team. And I have been a diehard Duke fan ever since. So the memories of your father in sports, you know, I had a chance to coach with my father on his high school team that he had at Longwood. Those memories last forever. Those memories last forever. And Dave, you will have those memories forever, man. And I just want to, again, apologize, but just understand, I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad you're doing this show because it's just amazing to hear you go and be here right now at a time where you could not be here right now. And I gladly appreciate it. And I love all three of you guys. Keep doing what you're doing. All right. Bye.
No, it's very nice, Dave. I greatly appreciate the phone call. You know, you realize how it connects generations. Sports connects society. It connects generations. And it's always this thing, Chris, where, well, it's the escape. And now we don't even have the escape with what's going on in today's world. So it's such a weird, I mean, this is uncharted territory, right? We talk about it with business and finance and everything and going to work. And that's true, but that's like real world stuff. We actually lose our escape now moving forward for quite a period of time. So this is a very different new normal right now.
No, it's a very different new normal, Dave. But the one thing that I will say is that we're all dealing with this new reality, and we all are going through withdrawal and not having the sports as the distraction for us. So it's something, again, that connects us through sports because we're all feeling the same things.
Right.
We don't have the opportunity to celebrate the highs of our team doing well or the lows when our team disappoints us. We don't have that anymore, but we're all experiencing not having that. So I think this is just another one of those things that we take a step back and we look at and we say, okay, this is one of those commonalities that connects all of us. We can all relate to this. And so we're in it together. I know they have the campaign that says alone together and everybody's supposed to be in quarantine at their homes and we're all experiencing similar things. But I mean, this is another one of those things that we have that's going on. And as a result of the pandemic, but we also know that we're not alone in this situation.
Let's go to Chris and Cape May. Chris, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
First, of course, condolences, Dave. But as the caller before said, this is really a fantastic show. It really is. It seems to fit into the times we're in, and it makes you reflect on things that are really important. I'm going to give you the dad's perspective because I've gone through every one of the stages. I'm 60, and I have a 30-plus-year-old son, and sports has been such a big part of our lives. I told you this story once before, Dave. When he was about five, I sat him down because I could tell he really liked sports, and I had a receipt from a supermarket or something. And I said, you know, you seem to really like sports. And he said, I do. I love sports. I said, well, you know, Keith, in this house, we have certain teams we watch. I said, we watch the Yankees, we watch the Rangers, we watch the Knicks, and we watch the Dallas Cowboys. I said, now, you don't have to watch those teams, but I'll probably have to take you back to the hospital with this receipt here and get a kid who will watch those teams. And that started our bond of watching those teams. Like, it's incredible. Like I said, he's in his 30s now. And most of we text every day, and usually the text starts out with something, you know, that involves sports. You said something that was really, really on mark, you know, and then I Rick alluded to it before. You know, your kids get older, you know, you don't want them hanging around the house. You want them out socializing, not now, of course. You want them out socializing with friends and making relationships. But you always had that one thing to come to. You know, we never missed a Cowboy game together when he was, you know, before he went away to college. You know, when Aaron Boone hit the homer against the Red Sox, he was at URI, called me at whatever it was, 11:30, 12 o'clock. I could hear the pandemonium in the background, but he still thought to call me, you know. And it's just, you just can't, I couldn't imagine what it would be like not to have that. So, you know, I listen to the things. I'm a maniac like you. You know, I feel the same way after a Cowboy loss. I'm miserable for the entire week. So I get where you're coming from. The only difference between you and me is we just root for different teams. The rest of it's all the same. So, you know, I wish you and your family the best getting through this. And, you know, thanks for doing what you're doing today.
Yep. Well, thank you for the phone call. It means a lot. I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere you go, which hopefully is not too far. Just click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play ESPN New York. At 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go. Kind of like the promo during the commercial break of our actual show, Rick. Do you appreciate that as well?
Yeah, nice little touch.
Yeah. We don't often get that. And I was like, ooh, this show sounds interesting. Oh, these guys are very talented. And then I realized, oh, that's us.
Hey, by the way, speaking of talented, quickly, Dave, and this is, I want to throw this, I want to bring this up just because, of what everyone's dealing with the coronavirus and everything else. And, you know, all the men and women, that have been essential, nurses, doctors, everyone that still continues every day to go out and do their jobs and put their lives on the line. How about this? So you had the Carpenters Union. Mm-hmm. They built 1,100 rooms at the Javits Center that opened today. 1,100 rooms at the Javits Center.
I saw video of that. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, they got a new, so there's, so 100 new workers from the Carpenters Union. They have another project that they'll start tomorrow. So, I mean, there are still people every single day going to work and taking care of us and making sure we can save as many people as possible.
Yeah, it's very, very essential. And did you see this, Chris, which was really an incredible story? Stephon Marbury is getting, I think I saw 10 million masks at cost, which instead of $7.50, I believe is $2.50 per, and he's negotiating a deal through China to bring them over here. I mean, so many people are doing so many things during this really difficult time.
No, so many people are trying to chip in, Dave, and you obviously see that the need is great with everything that's going on here domestically as well as what's going on in the world. And for people in this time of crisis to come out and show their best selves and be able to contribute in ways that we normally wouldn't see or ways that we normally wouldn't anticipate, it's special, Dave. I mean, you hear about Elon Musk being able to get thousands of ventilators for the state of California and have them flown in. Like, those are the types of things that really show the human spirit. And when we're going through a time like this, it's great to be able to highlight those people doing those really good things. Because, listen, Dave, we're in a position right now where it's necessary in order to contain the spread of this virus.
Absolutely. And we need to, with our platform, to, you know, bring light to those things, to Stephon Marbury and Elon Musk and the Carpenters Union and the doctors and the nurses and everybody that sacrifices. Because let's be fair, Rick, what we do, it's pretty easy. Right, we're sitting in our homes. I'm in my basement studio. You're in your home studio, and so is Chris. And we're talking sports and having emotional conversation with you guys. But we're not exactly risking all that much by venturing downstairs in our homes to do these shows.
No, we're not. And I think, you know, spending the last, you know, couple hours, you know, talking about how we've, you know, had the opportunity to reflect and everything else. I mean, it's all those men and women, and it's also and it's funny, you go through Twitter and see some of the posts and everything else. And you realize, you know, my wife going through it now with my kids homeschooling and everything else, like you take for granted certain things. Like, I mean, what teachers do every single mm-hmm. day. I mean, it's not what your wife does every single day. You know, my wife being home with two kids every single day. I mean, it's a whole different ballgame, man. And it's, you know, the other thing too, Dave, with the whole, you know, sports conversation too, and why it was so important in your life, my life, Chris's life, and people that listen to this radio show, it's because you're faced with it now. It's like, well, what do I do? If I don't have sports, what do I do? You mean, you're sitting there asking yourself that question at night after you eat dinner, you know, getting ready to turn on a baseball game. Like, well, what? There's no baseball game. What am I supposed to do? Like, what are we doing? I mean, we doing arts and crafts. Like, it's just, it was always that it becomes so part of your routine, and it's almost you become so reliant on having it. Then mm-hmm. when it's gone, like, it forces you to figure out to do, like, what do you do? Like,
but it's never been gone. That's
exactly,
like,
right.
I mean, the longest it was gone for was after 9/11, where it was necessary, and it was gone for what, 11 days, something like that. I mean, we're going to be months without any of this activity.
You know, the other thing that's amazing to me, Chris, tell me if you're experiencing this at all too in your neighborhood. I haven't, and Chris, you've been to my house for Thanksgiving. I haven't seen 85% of my neighbors in probably 5 years. Probably 5 years, I haven't seen 85% of my neighbors. If it's nice out, I see every single one of them is outside. Got kids shooting hoops. I haven't seen a, I didn't even know they had a basketball hoop. But then they're out shooting hoops. It's unbelievable.
Well, no, people are just trying to get out of the house. They're walking up and down the street. I mean, yeah, I mean, this is one of those things that's tough because you really can't do much. Most businesses are shut down. Most of the things that we use to entertain us are shut down. I mean, Broadway's dark. No sports are going on. So, I mean, yeah, this is a situation where people, in order to just get outside of their houses, you know, they go out and they walk out around the neighborhood, and you see a lot of those folks that you haven't seen in years. Same thing is happening for me. I mean, it almost feels like on the weekends that the grocery store is like a nightclub just because it's an opportunity for people to actually be around other folks. But, I mean, it just – I guess to me, when you see this going on, it just drives home the fact that this is an uncertain time, and we're living through something that we haven't seen before in this country.
Now, in these very trying times, important to remember we pull together as a community. Small businesses all over are going to be feeling the lasting effects of this pandemic. If you are a small business trying to get the word out that you're still serving the community, let us know. Send an email to 987ESPN@gmail.com. Let us know your story so we can pass the word along to our community. Like Benkert's Bakery, located at 2216 Middle Country Road in Center Reach, opened in 1955, serving the community with fresh bread, rolls, desserts, and pastries, offering curbside and local delivery. They're operating 8 to 5 every single day, so give them a call at 631-585-8618. And Rick, I don't know if you feel like this, but it finally dawned on me. I talked to my uncle this weekend, and he said, "You know, did you see this old game was on? Did you watch it all?" I said, "No." I said, "I don't really have, no, occasionally I will. Like, they had some giant Super Bowls on, I'll watch, or just, you know, the Leitner game, huge games." He said, "Well, how come you're not watching more sports?" And it occurred to me, and I don't know if you guys feel like this or not, one of probably the biggest part of sports is the unknown, is who's going to win, is how will we get to the point where this team actually wins? And that doesn't exist now. Any game I turn on, I know who's going to win. I know how it's going to happen. So I don't know if you guys feel like this, Rick. We'll start with you. With the whole sports feel right now, it's just not the same for me because it's not this unscripted anything can happen. It's I know exactly what's going to happen. I've lived here. I've already danced this dance before.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, I will dabble. I found myself getting frustrated, to be honest. I was watching the 94 Knicks, and I actually watched – I'm watching the game, watching them play defense, watching them – I mean, the intensity level. I mean, the physicality. I almost found myself getting aggravated. I'm like, this doesn't look anything like – the New York Knicks basketball that we watch now on a consistent basis. I mean, this is foreign to me because I don't see any of that when we watch our Knicks now. But yeah, I mean, that's why I think we love sports. I mean, it's the ultimate reality show, man. It's not knowing what the outcome is going to be. I mean, going into a situation where, you know, you'd bet your house on a game. There's no chance this team loses. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Baltimore Ravens losing in the playoffs. Like, there's no chance the Baltimore Ravens are going to lose, and they lose a home game. It's just that's the stuff that you love.
Well, Rick, you called it a reality TV show. I think the part about sports that we really love is the drama in the buildup. I think we're more preview oriented when it comes to sports and entertainment than in most walks of our everyday lives, and that's because we do want to have that excitement of the unknown, and when you don't have that. Because you don't have actual live sports, it does something off it. I mean, if there's a classic game that's on, I mean, yeah, you'll sit down and rewatch it. Like Tom Brady put it on social media, him rewatching Super Bowl 51 and saying that he was so nervous when he was looking at the scoreboard and it was 28-3. I mean, you can kind of capture those moments. But even in that, when you watch it, it just takes you back to the feelings and emotions that you had when you were watching it live. And it definitely does take something away from it when you don't have one. Not a lot of people.
Yeah, Chris is kind of fading a little bit there. Games. Yeah, no, I agree with you. And you know, we've actually taken to watching now, Rick. We're watching old seasons of Survivor because it's as close to as we can get to sports at the moment. It's a competitive battle of people trying to vote each other off an island.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you, man. I'm watching between, you know, the Food Network Tournament of Champions, and I mean, you're just looking for, something. I mean, yesterday we did an Easter project. We're cutting out, you know, Easter eggs and flowers and everything else. I'm getting beatdowns in Uno every single day. But that's what you're doing though, man. I mean, it's trying to find ways to pass the time, and it's not easy.
It certainly is not. Let's go to Lou in Manalapan. Lou, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Can you guys hear me good?
We can hear you fine, Lou.
I'm sorry for your loss, Dave. I can't imagine, you know, the feelings, especially since, you know, everyone's talking on radio about this whole pandemic and what's going on with that. Just wanted to share a thought. Me and my father, I'm very thankful for the fact that me and him have a great relationship, but I didn't realize I had a great relationship with my father until, we actually umpired together. And he coached me throughout my life and taught me about baseball, brought me to Shea Stadium and Citi Field and all of that stuff. But we got to go to Cooperstown, and, you know, a lot of people, you know, a lot of kids get to get that opportunity as a player. But
did you umpire at the Cooperstown tournament, Lou?
Yes. I umpired. Me and my dad actually went there with two of our hometown Manalpin teams, and we went there. And it's, you know, Cooperstown, New York, if you go there, even just like a regular day, father, son, it's heaven. But when you go to a facility like they have in Cooperstown, I don't know if your kid played there.
I just went last summer.
Yeah. So, you know how, you know, exciting and special it is, but I didn't get to play there, which, you know, it stunk as a kid, but as an umpire, it was even better because me and my dad, you know, would do two games, you know, get to see a team from Las Vegas, play a team first California. We would go get a drink after the game, talk about the games, talk about baseball, you know, and, you know, the influence of just the dad and a father, you know, you really just don't realize, you know, I'm 25 years old and I realize, you know, in the weirdest moments that, you know, you struggle sometimes to get friends and you struggle to get ahead in life, and your father is always the person right there, and you know he teaches you about everything, and you know keeps the sports relationship really is the valuable spot there. And you guys have been doing an excellent job covering it, and it's just a great episode, even though it's such a sad circumstance for you, Dave. And I'm a really big fan of your show, and I hope you guys, you know.
Well, thank you, Lou. It does mean a lot. All the calls and tweets and texts that I'm getting and messages, it really does mean a lot. And Rick, you would have lost your mind up in Cooperstown. Some of the talent up there. We played. So we're a small team from Westchester, right? A town team, and we played Seattle, right? So the elite All Stars of Seattle. I think the final score is 23-2 or something. Our pitcher was a decent pitcher. Goes to the mound and he throws strikes. The problem is five of his first eight strikes left the yard, and we were down 9-0. We had to take him out of the game one third of an inning. I think he threw 13 pitches and allowed 7 home runs.
Ooh.
against Seattle. I felt bad for him.
Yeah, that's tough. That was like our first couple games in Marlboro. We played the Boston teams, and it was just completely different level. Almost felt bad.
Yeah. I mean, we played Seattle, right? The best all-star players from the city of Seattle. And then I felt so bad. So this same kid, in that game, the Seattle pitcher from 50 feet, mind you, is probably throwing mid 70s. And this kid, we're down 11-1 in the second inning. And this kid, he goes up to the plate. He goes, "All I want, Dave, I don't want to get hit." I said, you're not going to get hit. I said, "Go up there, take your hacks. Even if you make out, it's fine. You're not going to get hit." He gets plunked on the thigh. So hard, he's down, and he refuses to cry. We help him to the side. He can barely walk. He shows us the mark. He has the balls now imprinted into his thigh. I felt so bad for this poor kid. He had a wealth
of
days. You could. I didn't realize I was trying to be like the good soldier, just like it's going to be fine. But I guess I did lie to him. Yes,
that's too bad. He'll live and learn.
He'll live and learn. Exactly.
That's why he's so motivational,
baseball.
Though. Don't worry about it. Get in
anymore.
There. Get in there. He's only throwing 75.
I'm telling you, as the, you know, the parent coach on the side watching, I was like, boy, this guy throws hard. Like, I think he had a full mustache. He's 12 years old. He's got a full mustache. Like, goatee. I mean, some of these kids are athletes. Bryce Harper played in this tournament. Beckham played in this tournament. I mean, they've had unbelievable athletes in this tournament. And we.
Yeah, that's like that. That's like that. That Quebec tournament for hockey. Uh-huh. I think you're 12 when you go. I'll never forget the year I went. And like you get like a hockey card made. People are trading pins. And Rico Fada was like, he was like the guy. And he's walking around with like an entourage. He's got like an agent at the time. He's 12 years old. He's bigger than everyone else. I already hit puberty. I'm sitting there. We're showering in bathing suits. He's just walking around.
Yeah, it's, but youth sports is so much fun, and it shouldn't be taken as seriously as it. We're gonna have, and we're not gonna do it now, we'll do it in the noon hour, Chris. MLB The Show 20, we're gonna give away in a little bit. So That's quite the giveaway we have here.
No, that's pretty cool, Dave. And I mean, there's no time that would be better to give something like that away because you got a lot of free time. You're stuck in your house, play some video games.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like go outside and see the sunshine or go to the mall or go to the movies. No, no, no. Really, this is the best option. Play MLB The Show 20 and play it for hours on end. We just bought it for Ben. He's already gotten his money's worth. Oh, it's amazing. We bought the online version for him, and he is playing a lot of MLB The Show. Are you a video gamer at all, Rick? Do you play?
Me, no. I told you I tried. I realized I had to retire when the guys were coming to the locker room on a Sunday morning after a Saturday night out. And just they spent 8 hours playing Call of Duty, and I was like, well, I better get with the times. My wife bought me the whole setup, hooked it up, had the headset on. I played for like 3 minutes and got motion sickness, and that was it. I was like, I can't do it.
That was it? You retired from
I couldn't
that?
Do it. I was like, I'm a grown, I'm 30, whatever I was. I can't sit and play video games like this.
I know, but people love it. And do you see how much money you can make at it now?
Yeah, I mean, I had that story. Remember I had that observation story where the one, he lost million, I mean, he was making what, $6-8 million a year doing it?
Yeah. That's a lot of money. All right. So it seems like this is a tradition now. I think we're day 4 or 5 where Andy from Merritt calls us and asks us a trivia question, and we've done quite well up to this point. So let's bring him in, Andy and Merrick. Andy, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. First and foremost, Dave, on behalf of all your fans, we wish you sincere condolences. It's got to be a tough weekend for you.
It really was.
All right. Well, we'll try to change the pace and lift some spirits for you. Chris, you there?
I'm here.
All right. I got a University of Virginia basketball question for you. Who has the most wins as a head coach in the history of the University of Virginia basketball?
Wow, that is a great question. I do not have the answer. I mean, Pete Gillen was the coach when I got there, but I don't think he's the winningest coach of all time. I have no clue.
Can I take a guess? And this is a guess at this one?
Yes.
I'm going to go Terry Holland.
Terry Holland is correct.
And he was the coach of Ralph Sampson.
He was the coach just before Gillen. That is correct, Dave.
All right.
All right.
See, we work as a team here, so we really got it correct.
Known that though, Dave.
It's a team effort.
Now that I'm sitting here thinking about it.
All right, Andy, go ahead.
Rick, 2002-2003 Islander season. You got a taste of playing. I think you played 10 games that year. Which of your teammates led the team in goals scored that year?
2002-2003 goals scored?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go with, my God. I feels like it could be, like it's a little bit easy, but I am going to go with, I'm going
to
go
with the point of time that you would say, are you Googling to me? Right?
2002-2003, most goals. I want to go with, that can't be right, no. I'm going to go with Mark Parrish.
Actually, it was Dave Scatcherd with 27.
Wow.
Alexei Yashin had 26 that year.
Wow.
All right, David.
All right.
A Mets question.
Oh, boy.
What Met pitcher has let up the most home runs in a single season for the Mets' history?
So we're going most home runs in a season.
Mets pitcher that has allowed the most home runs in one season.
Boy, I don't know that I know that. So it's got to be a starter. Doug Sisk used to allow a lot of home runs.
Yeah, it was a starter.
Yeah, it's got to be a starter. And it's probably a long time ago. I'd say Edwin Diaz if he had more of an opportunity, because I'm sure he would certainly accomplish something like that. I'm going to say, it's probably from the 62 team, isn't it?
That is correct.
Yeah. God.
I'll give you a hint. I don't want a hint.
Okay. I don't know that I know it though.
Go with your gut. Come on.
I have to think of the pitchers on that team.
You don't have a gut anymore either,
I'm gonna go with see, it's between two guys, I would think. Former pitching coach for the Giants, Roger Craig, or Al Jackson would be my two. I'm going to narrow it down. I'm going to go with Al Jackson.
Close. You had it right. A former great pitching coach, Roger Craig. Stay safe, guys. Speak to you soon.
We appreciate it. That's a nice little wrinkle that Andy throws in every day with his questions.
Yeah, nice little questions. Nice little questions.
And we were so close. No.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.